Hi, Jeremy. How you doing? Welcome to Upcoming Discs.
Thank you so much. Doing great. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I just got done watching The Device. I watched it last night. And for our listeners out there, it's kind of an alien abduction story. But you made this kind of more of an intimate story about the people themselves than really the alien abduction, didn't you?
Yeah. I was really interested in finding a way to sort of build a relationship with film, make it an interesting story. I love sort of alien abduction stories, but I think the problem that I have with a lot of the films about it is that the, I think they're kind of boring a lot of times, actually. They seem to really focus on the characters waiting for this thing to happen, and the characters can't really be proactive in the situation.
Right.
Which can kind of, you know, lead to a lot of dead spots in the film. So what we're trying to do is find a way to focus on these characters and the relationships and allow them to be proactive through this object in the film, which is the device.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of, people would expect it to be a very FX-heavy movie, but it's not. It's really, the burden of this film falls on the shoulders of these three actors and characters that you've developed. So I assume that casting was one of the most vital things you did. Can you take me through the casting process?
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right. I mean, the actors can make or break a film. So it was really important to find great actors who could just sort of carry the entire story from start to finish. The two main characters, well, the main character, Abby, played by Angela DeMarco, I met her previously, her and her husband, who actually plays Calvin in the film. So
okay.
They're related, so they have that great chemistry. I had met them previously on a short film project, which I had done, a 48-hour film contest, which they have them all across the United States, but we had done one specific to Seattle.
Sure.
It was horror-related. So I got to meet them and work with them, and they were just, you know, they're really talented, really great professionals. So as soon as this project came up, which actually wasn't too long after that contest, I knew that I wanted to have them. I thought it would be great to work with them on something bigger. So from there, it was just really auditioning for the role of Rebecca, who is the younger sister.
Right.
And, we saw quite a few, like, really talented actors here in the Seattle area. There's a lot of great people to work with here. When we saw, you know, Kate Alton, who played Rebecca,
right,
I sort of knew right away that she would be perfect because she was so great at expressing internal conflict in a very subtle, nuanced way.
And there's a lot of that in this film. That's really what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, we were really happy to find her, and she just had great chemistry with the other two as well. So
right.
The way that they all played off each other, you know, we did a lot of rehearsal, but they're just all really talented actors.
Well, and it seems to me, from what I saw anyway, that you built a lot of your mood through the editing as well. It seems like editing must have been, it's always an important part of filmmaking, but it seems like you really put a lot of your mood into the editing here. Is that a fair assessment?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, for us, for me anyway, one of the big keys is atmosphere.
Yeah.
I really love atmosphere. That's the thing that kind of really works for me for horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, the editing, the pacing is a huge part of atmosphere. And I'm really lucky to have a great editor in Autumn, Lisa Mason, who's the person I collaborate with. And she's just really talented, very creative, and she brings a lot to the table.
Sure.
She edits. There's a lot of editing choices in the film, which I can say, like, you know, she brought those choices. She had great ideas, and I really respect her ideas, and she was able to, like, create a pace that really worked for the story.
Yeah.
And really upheld that atmosphere that, you know, I think is pretty palpable in the film. And things even like the, you know, we talked about some of the jump cuts in the film, which, you know, loss of time is something that's very common in these production stories.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to be able to sort of brainstorm, you know, how do we work these tropes that you hear from different abduction stories and things that are common.
Yeah.
How do we work that into the fabric of the film? She was just really able to bring that, and it was fantastic. So.
Well, it shows. It really does. Also, you spoke about the story, and you also were one of the co-writers on the story. So I guess I want to ask you, this particular abduction story, did you take elements from things that you've heard, maybe news reports or someone else's abduction story, or did you just completely take this out of thin air?
That's interesting. Yeah, I've definitely been a fan of Abduction Stories growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I have those, like, Time Life books. I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, yeah, I do.
There were Time Life books. Yeah, those were great, right? But, yeah, I mean, I used to read those, and, you know, I just found them fascinating. You know, I think I mentioned before in other places as well that my mom actually had sort of a close encounter.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't abducted.
Right.
Seeing UFOs, some of the story that Rebecca tells in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that was taken from her story, though obviously we, you know, dramatized it quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, definitely, you know, taking little bits here and there from different stories. As far as the abductions themselves go, the device, that whole, you know, which is the crux of the story, you know, finding this object in the woods.
Right.
That was something that was more just, you know, just an idea, trying to find a way to, you know, give the characters more to do, allow them to be proactive, and
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to explore the relationship and the way the relationships would change once the thing came into their lives.
Yeah. Now, one of the elements, of course, is even though we only get faint glimpses of the aliens or creatures, whatever have you, can you tell me a little bit about the creature design? To me, they look a little bit like the Greys and the Sleestaks from the old 1970s show.
Nice. Yeah, no, you know, the thing with the design was really trying to give that sort of classic look.
Right.
Of the Greys, but at the same time, make it its own thing.
Yeah.
We kind of felt like maybe it'd be a little bit reductive if we just had the classic, like, 4-foot-tall gray.
Sure.
We're trying to find something that's a little more menacing. You know, it loved the tall look of the alien.
Yes.
To me, like, the tall, thin look is really something pretty frightening and allowed the actor who played the alien to also bring more physicality to it, you know, because he could actually be more intimidating.
Uh-huh.
Loom over the other actors. So I was trying to find that common ground between the classic gray look and
right.
something that's very monsterish.
Well, yeah, and I noticed, at least from what I can see, it looks like all whatever effects and designs and stuff is all practical. There's no CG in this movie, or is there?
There is a little bit of CG, just to sort of heighten certain effects.
But not much.
I would say it's like 98% practical.
Yeah, and the device itself, of course. Now, that's interesting, too, because it's the sphere, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it seemed to me that in different lightings, it almost seems to have different properties, different shine or texture to it, and I'm wondering if that was intentional or what went into the design of the actual device itself.
Yeah, well, this is kind of funny. We actually, you know, we wanted something that looked otherworldly, which
right.
is really hard to do, right, because we're working with materials that's definitely
sure.
otherworldly. Basically, what we had to do was create this work.
Right.
And we were really lucky because we had some input from people who are professional painters and things like that about ways that we could create this work
mm-hmm.
using like different layers of paint.
Right.
In order to give it that layered look.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I was still kind of blown away because we did the work ourselves. But then looking at it for a while, it was just kind of like, wow, there is dimension to this.
Yes.
And it seemed like the more layers of paint that we worked with, just the more dimension it gave it. So I was really happy with that. Like, it was really hard to paint it, though, because obviously, like, it's warp, so it's really hard to get, like, an even layer all across the,
sure.
all across the device. So I will say we had quite a few of them available, and not all of them were perfect. So we had to be really choosy about which ones we used.
Yeah, I assume you did. And I noticed, once again, you're a co-writer of this, and I look at the other films that you've been involved with directing. It seems that so far you've been more comfortable directing your own written word. Are you thinking about branching off into something else, or is that really your comfort zone?
I really love to write. It's mm-hmm. something that I've done for a long time in different capacities, and so I feel comfortable doing it.
Sure.
I'm not opposed to directing other people's work. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those things, especially at this stage when you're trying to find work and you're trying to make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, as a director,
sure.
nobody's just going to come to you and, like, hand you their script.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to create your own opportunities.
Yeah.
I feel lucky that I'm comfortable enough with writing because, you know, when you're just starting out as a director, it's almost what you kind of have to do to create those opportunities for yourself.
Right.
But I definitely love to write, and, you know, like I said, if somebody came to me with something really great,
Well, that's yep, that's great. And so, just to tie this up, do we have anything else coming up on the horizon from you?
What we do, the co-writer John Portnova, which you mentioned, he has a film coming up, which he wrote and directed, called Valley of the Sasquatch.
Uh huh.
Produced with the October People, and that's coming up probably in festivals next year. I also have some stuff in the pipeline that we'll be announcing soon. I'll be directing something next year, and we're also co-producing another sort of psychosexual thriller with one named director named Elias.
Well, great.
And so we'll be in production on those next year, and you can find more information on those at theoctoberpeople.net.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. The Device, it's out on DVD, I guess Tuesday is when it came out. So I hope our readers will check it out. Thanks again for your time, Jeremy, and have a good one.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Take care.